Yeah, we're Ephesians chapter 6. Today we pick up in verse 10. But before we get there, I wanted to remind you a little bit about the book of Ephesians, since I wasn't able to be here last week. Remember, let's turn back a little bit. Chapter 4, verse 1 is maybe the key word in the whole book. And you see, it's the second word in chapter 4. It says, I, and there's the word, therefore. And remember, when the word therefore is in the Bible, we have to ask what it's there for. And that word's there to unify chapters 1 through 3 with chapters 4 to 6. So let me remind you, chapters 1 through 3 tell us about all that God has done for us and all the things that we are right now in Christ Jesus. Then, after telling us how rich we are in Christ, chapters 4 through 6 speak to us to our worthy response to what God has first done for us. The book of Ephesians is glorious. But a lot of people in their Christian walk, they want to skip chapters 1 to 3 because they get saved and they just want to live a life that pleases God. But then what they find themselves doing is they live a life that pleases God because they think that if I can do things that please God, then somehow I'm earning attaboy points from God. Because then I live a life that, see God, I read my Bible today. Are you happy? See God, I went to church. Are you happy? And we get all these this sense of I'm trying to earn something from God. But what's wrong there? A lot of reasons, but one of them is that makes me the initiator in this relationship with God. And then God becomes the responder. And the pressure that puts on me to live a life that proves to God that I'm worthy of His love is, well, how much do I have to do? I only read one chapter. Is that enough, God? Should I read more? I only prayed for an hour, God. Is that enough? Maybe I should pray more. And you see what that puts on us? Pressure. That's not biblical Christianity, that attitude. It's not. Biblical Christianity is this: God's the initiator. Amen? We're the responders. And it's so key for us to recognize that and to walk in that and to live in that, and then also to help others who we know and love who have got that mixed up a little bit because they don't understand chapters 1 to 3 in Ephesians. That they first don't realize what God has done for them and who they are in Christ and how God sees us right now. Out of that, I want to live a life of devotion and service to God because He first loved me, right? That's why we're at church today. I love God. That's why I pray. I love God. That's why I serve and bless and hopefully encourage, because I love God. Not because I'm trying to get God to get out His little grade book and give me a check mark or a gold star. That's not it at all. Got it? Really, 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 really important. So we went through verses or chapters 1 to 3, and then we've been through a little bit of the second section of the book, chapters 4 through 6. So we're kind of in the toward the end of it. Let me remind you a little bit about what 4 to 6 is about. The first thing related to our response is that we're to be a unifying influence in the body of Christ. Right? When we saw that in chapter 4. Then the second thing is that each one of us, we've been gifted by the Holy Spirit. Oh, bless you, Amelia. I went to the Ohio State football game yesterday. And I'm not a yeller at the football game. I'm just not. I like to watch a game. I concentrate. Urban needs me to concentrate, you know. And so But man, when you're at the game, you just get caught up in the emotion, and we thumped them, and it was so fun. It's so fun to thump your rival, you know. And you IU fans don't know what that's like very well. Yeah, I noticed the IU fans aren't here as much today. Anyway, so I sound like Barry White today. Hey, everybody. You young people don't know who Barry White is. I don't know either. But thank you, Amelia. That was very kind of you. Let's see here. So we're to be a unifying influence in the body of Christ. We've been gifted by God through the Holy Spirit, and so now we're to take our place in the body of Christ so that we can serve the body and edify the body and all that. Then the third response is we're to live a life of holiness. And so we walked our way through all that. But notice, if you keep with me, this is the introduction. You're probably thinking, holy moly, we're going to be here all day. Chapter 5, verse 18 is kind of the key. We've talked about it a lot. But notice, in the middle of 18, it talks about, let's read 18. Don't be filled with wine, which is a waste, but be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. That's the key. A constant filling of the Holy Spirit of God. Allows us to live a life that's pleasing to Him. And then it went on from there and talked about, okay, here's the fruit of being filled with the Holy Spirit in verses 19 to 20 and 21. We're to submit or to sing one another in psalms, and we just have spiritual conversations with each other. And then 20 is be thankful for all things in every situation. And then we submit to another. And then he talks about, okay, being filled with the Holy Spirit. Here's how it plays out in the most important relationships in our lives. Here's how that plays out in our marriages. Here's how that plays out in our families. Here's how that plays out in the workplaces. And we've been through all that. So that brings us to our text today. Woohoo! We made it. But here's why I think Paul goes into this. Because it's kind of weird. We get to this point, and then he says, finally, and he talks about spiritual warfare. It's like, where did that come from? But here's why, in my opinion. The Apostle Paul, through the Holy Spirit of God, knows that if a Christian desires to be filled with the Holy Spirit and live a life of obedience to God, there's going to be resistance by the enemy of our souls. There is. There's going to be resistance. So Paul, right, starting here in verse 10, moves in right into that and says, okay, you desire to live for God, you desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit on an ongoing basis to make a difference in this world, there's going to be resistance. And so he helps us understand who the enemy of our soul is. And that's what we're going. We're only going to do a couple verses today because I really want to focus a bit on what he's speaking to. So let's read what we're going to do today, starting in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, kind of like here's the bow, wrapping it up. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, there's our word again, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now here, let's pray. Lord, thanks for your word. Thanks that it's alive. And we pray you breathe it into our lives today, Lord. Just bring it alive to us, Lord. And we want to grow in our faith this morning. Thank you for the privilege of meeting together and having you be our teacher. May we hear your voice clearly this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Paul starts by saying, okay, as a result of all that I've said up to this point, here's the final thing. Verse 10. Here's the final thing. You're an underliner. Here's the final thing. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. In other words, Paul's saying that God's plan in your life is not going to roll out in your life unopposed. You have an adversary who's going to fight you tooth and nail every step of the way. Now, maybe it's a good time for us as we go through this today for me to remind you of something. We want to be careful not to get fixated on the devil. We need to understand on some level who we're dealing with. But God calls us to know him and love him and encourage and bless him. So let's follow Jesus. Let's keep our focus on Jesus. But we're going to spend a little bit of time going back and kind of getting a sense of who our adversary is. So who is our adversary? Who's going to oppose God's plan and purposes in your life? It's Satan and his demonic legions. And the Bible's got a lot to say about the devil. And maybe some of you have not really heard that biblically before. So let's take a look just for a little bit about who this who our adversary is, a created being. Notice in verse 11, it tells us, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. By the way, do you see how many times the word stands in there and the word withstands in there, the word against is in there, all the way through this section, the key words that we want to focus on. So the first thing in this verse is that there is a devil. He is real. At one point in time, he was a very high-ranking angel. Some believe he was one of the three top angelic beings that God had ever created. But now he's a fallen angel. So I'm going to throw a verse up. I think Chance has it. It's back in Ezekiel 28. If you want to go find it, you can. But I'm just going to throw it up for ease. So let's read this verse about who Satan was at the beginning, or Lucifer. He says, this is God speaking about Lucifer. For you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. Jewels, emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes. And some would say he was the worship leader in heaven because of that. Was prepared for you on the day you were created. See that? Okay, keep going. You were the anointed cherub who covers. I, God speaking, established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. He had a high position. You walk back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. I think one more verse. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created until iniquity was found in you. Okay? So that's who our adversary was originally when he was created by God. And I've tried to emphasize it. Satan had access to the holy mountain of God. It makes it clear for us who our adversary is. He's no slouch. He's powerful. He's cunning. Shrewd is another word for that. He's intelligent, more than we imagine. He's extraordinarily, supernaturally powerful. So how did this created being, Lucifer, the star of the morning, become Satan? The captain of the demonic realm. There's another verse. It's in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. And we'll throw it up. If you want to find it in your Bible, we can. But here it is. Isaiah chapter 14. How you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, here's the key. Now, notice the I wills, okay? This is Satan speaking to God. There's, I think, five I wills in here. Here's the first one. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Can you see, Charlie? I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. Is that three I wills there? One, two, three. Keep going. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Five I wills. Is that all of it? Maybe one more verse then. Yet, this is God speaking to him now, you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. So that's where the enemy is now. Why? Why? Lucifer wanted to be like God. In fact, he wanted to take God's place in heaven. And it's a reflection on those five wills that I tried to emphasize there. But God says, no, you won't. Instead, you're going to be cast down to the lowest depths of the pit. And so the devil and a third of the angels who joined Satan in his rebellion were cast down out of heaven. So when Satan was cast down, where did he end up? He came to the earth, where he made the earth his own by snatching the title deed of earth away from Adam and Eve through the fall in the Garden of Eden. Because God had given the title deed to earth to Adam and Eve. But because of their sin, they lost it to the devil. And now the earth has become Satan's kingdom. And I'm going to confess to you, I don't understand how it works entirely. Because God's in control of everything. And yet, the devil's, God, Jesus says about the devil that he's the king, What it's speaking to is the fact that the devil has control of this earth. I don't know how it all works. I'm not sure. Oh, it says he's the God of this world, is what it says. He's the power behind this world system that we bump up against every day. The devil's a destroyer. He's a rebel. He hates God. He fights against God every single day, and he hates everyone who's aligned with God. Golly, he hates everyone because he isn't going to get the position that he thinks he should have. He's never going to have it. So Satan works every day. He didn't take Thanksgiving off. He works every day to try to destroy every institution of God in this world. And he also works every day to try to destroy every single person who works with God in support of those institutions. So what's he work to do? A few of them. He works to undermine the institution of marriage and the family. Are we surprised at how we're redefining marriage now? Well, you know, we shouldn't be shocked at all by that. He works every day to undermine government and law and order in this world. Yeah, we shouldn't be surprised as we see those things unfold. He works every day to undermine the church. And he works every single day against us because we are now for those things. So the Christian life's going to involve spiritual warfare. That's what Paul is trying to help us see. It is. But there's an issue. And it's a big issue. And I think you realize this. There are many people, outside the church. But the issue in my mind is within the church who doesn't believe a word of what I just said. They don't believe a word of what the verses were that we just read. They don't believe in hell. They don't believe in eternal punishment. They don't believe in a personal devil. They don't believe in demonic activity. And in fact, most modern thinkers, quote unquote, would discount the supernatural realm altogether. And many churches in our town will not teach about hell. They don't even talk about hell. They'll not teach about the devil. You'd have to ask them why. But you talk to just people about the devil, the demonic realm, they think you're wacko. They do. People within the church, let alone the unsaved. And yet Paul, right here in this section we're going to go through over the next couple of weeks, Paul says, we need to recognize that there's a spiritual battle that rages around us every single moment of every single day. Now, if the devil had his way, you would live as if he doesn't exist, which gives him all the advantage that he needs. But God doesn't want him to have that advantage in your life. God wants you to know your enemy at some level, because the more you know, then the better you'll be prepared to resist him and stand firm against his attacks. So that's why we're going to work our way through this section. But before we do that, and it's just going to be a small little work in this section today, because we're going to jump in it deeper next week. But let me remind you who the devil is not, okay? Because again, I don't want to make this all about who he is. Satan is not a counterpart of God. He's not God's equal on the dark side. You have to remember, we read it. Lucifer's a created being, very powerful created being, but he is a created being nonetheless. What this means is that the devil does not have God's attributes. So a few of God's attributes, he is not omnipotent. He's not all powerful, in other words. There are some things that Satan cannot do. Where on the other side, of course, God can do anything, anytime, for as long as he wants, right? He's God. Satan is not that. Another attribute, he's not omniscient. In other words, there are certain things that Satan cannot know or cannot figure out. He cannot read your mind. He cannot know your thoughts. It's impossible. He may know your tendencies because he's watching. And he's aware of your weaknesses because he's watching them. But he can't read your mind. He just knows that you've done it consistently for the last 3 weeks. And so therefore, he recognizes you're vulnerable to this. And him and his legions are going to attack you in that place. That's why Satan's not, and his demonic legion are not omnipresent. They can only be in one place at one time. And then lastly, and I mean, there's a long list, but the last of the one, their work in the life of a believer is definitely regulated. In other words, God has him on a leash. There are limits to the way the devil can hassle you, and these limits have been set by God. Read the book of Job, and you'll see it. The devil could only do what God allowed him to do, remember? But he certainly terrorized Job and his family, and he certainly terrorizes. But God's in control. God is the one that we set our affections on and our heart on and our intentions upon. But we want to be aware that there is an adversary, and we are in spiritual warfare all the time, okay? So let's see what we can learn a little bit today. Three things I see as we go through this. We want to know, as we go through here, we want to see that our enemy is powerful. We want to see that our enemy is wicked and that he's shrewd. He's cunning. So in verse 12, let's jump down a little bit, and here's where I find some of that. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Paul tells us that our battles are not against people. They're against the forces of darkness in the spiritual realm. And I think one of the devil's best ploys is to get us fighting the wrong enemy. If we begin to pick fights with people, we've lost sight of where the real battle is. Many of us think the boss at work is the enemy, or the kids who are in rebellion is the enemy, or the abortion advocates are the enemy, or the school board is the enemy. But the source of the problem are the spiritual forces behind the people that are being influenced by those spiritual forces. That's the enemy. But here in this verse in 12, we see that there are rankings in the demonic realm. No different than kind of our military, how there's rankings. And we know, as we read this and other places, that the devil rules over a very organized army that's under his control. We see the power and the authority of the demonic realm. Now, the Greek word for the word rulers there, do you see it kind of in the middle? Where is it? Is it 12? But we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness. Thank you. Of the age. The word there refers to worldwide rule. And I think that the power and authority Satan has is beyond what we can ever imagine. His influence extends to places and people and governments in ways that if we had our eyes open to it, it would blow our minds. So much so that one of these days, the devil's going to do something that's never been done in human history. He's going to take all the world's institutions and governments and economic systems and religions, and he's going to unite them together under one man, the Antichrist. That's what the Bible says. Is it happening before our eyes? I think so. I do. So the devil and his legions have incredible power and authority. But the second thing we want to see as we read through that verse is God wants us to know that the enemy is wicked. Power itself is neutral. It can be used for good or evil. But Satan and his legions, they use their power for evil and for wickedness. And then the last thing is that he's shrewd. He's cunning. Notice back up in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the, my version says, wiles of the devil. It's an interesting word there. It's where we get our English word method. And notice the word is plural. which means that the devil has more than one method, more than one scheme. Remember in the Revolutionary War when the Brits came over and they would line up in their red coats and they expected the Americans to line up across from them because they were going to fight like gentlemen? Remember that? And it's like it was almost in a slap in the Brits' face that we didn't line up. Instead, we hid behind trees. Believe me, I'm hiding behind a tree. You know, I'm going to dig a hole and I'm going to hide in it. You know, I mean, I'm not going to stand out in the open. And so that's how the devil functions in our world. He's not going to line up in front of us and say, well, hello, I'm the devil. I'm here to attack you today. He's not going to do that. Now, sometimes the devil does function in those right in front of us kind of things, sex, drugs, rock and roll kind of thing. But most of the time, the devil operates in a way that's a lot more just schemey, you know, and trying to get behind the scenes and not even for us to realize that he's functioning in that world. He's so subtle that he can attack us for quite a while before we even realize it's him. It happens that way a lot. So God knows how the devil operates. And then that's why in verse 12, he exposes the devil's devices. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. And again, I think one of the devil's greatest things that he does is against us Christians, is we fight supremely against people rather than fighting in the spiritual realm. How do we fight in the spiritual realm? On our knees. And I'm not saying if people are called, they shouldn't go down to the abortion place and pick it. I'm not saying any of those kind of things. But we need to spend more time on our knees. And I'm not saying you shouldn't go down to Cumberland Board if they do something and you live in this town and you don't like it and you think it's wrong. I'm not saying you shouldn't go down and let your voice be heard. But the battle is on our knees, Christian, right? That's where it begins, that's where it ends, is praying, and letting and fighting in the supernatural. So you can see from all this, we have a very formidable adversary. He's powerful, he's wicked, he's cunning. In fact, as you read through this kind of thing, you might think, oh, he's so formidable, I don't have a chance. But that's not the case at all. Remember, 1 John 4 tells us, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. In other words, God's power in you is far, 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 far greater than Satan's power that works on you. So not only can we resist him, but we can stand firm against him. And that's what next time, in starting in verse 13, as we work it on down, we're going to see how we can stand. Put on the armor of God, things like that. But notice, back in verse 10, he begins this section saying, here's the first key to standing in the Lord. Here's the key to standing. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of might. So what's the key? The power that God has given us is far greater than anything else that's in this world. And he is the one that gives us the power to stand. And it's vital for us to realize that we don't have the power in and of ourselves to stand against this. When I was first entered into the ministry a number of years ago, I don't know if you've ever come across the demonic realm. I've come across the demonic realm literally a few times, like demon-possessed people and things like that. And it'll get your attention. I mean, it'll get your attention big time. And there was a situation that I won't go into today, but it was strong. It was real strong. And as I was dealing with it, and, you know, you ever been in a room by yourself and you're sure that you're not by yourself? I mean, you're just sure you're not by yourself. I was that place for about a month. I just kept looking over my shoulder. I was like, I mean, it was strong, and I wasn't married yet, and I was living by myself, and it was like, it was tough. It was just really this sense of, and I remember as I was walking through that, again, I was stepping into ministry. I'd been Christian for a while. I was just stepping into ministry, and I remember as I was walking through that, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, why are you allowing this? I don't get it. I don't understand what you're trying to help me see. I believe what he wanted me to see through that month was, On your own, you can do nothing. But with me, all things are possible. And I think God just wanted me to get a glimpse of the enemy as far as, Toby, that's bigger than you. That, whatever that was, that's stronger than you. That's greater than you. All the things. And I think God wanted me to be reminded about, yeah, you're right, Lord. In me, I got no ability against that. But then God says what I'm trying to communicate today. But in Christ, we don't just withstand and stand. We're victorious. We have the power to be able to step right into that. And I'm not saying go fighting or whatever, but we have the power to be what God called you to be. And some of us in this world, God has called us to fight in the supernatural realm. Praise the Lord. That's glorious. But God wants all of us to have our eyes open. And all of us to continually do what God says right here at the beginning, verse 10. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So what's has to happen for that? I have to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. See the key? Back to verse 18 of chapter 5. So let's close. Let me go. I don't want you to just take my word for it. Back to Luke chapter 11. It's just one verse. I just want to quickly, I want you to see it with your own eyeballs. You know it. But I don't want you to take my word for anything. Luke chapter 11, verse 13. I'm jumping in a little bit of Jesus' teaching. And he's talking about, you know, God being faithful and if ask and seek and knock. You see that all, 11, 9. But here's verse 13. If you then, speaking to us Christians, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So, wake up in the morning, and before I even get out of bed, Lord, please fill me with your power. Not so that I can be a superstar saint, Lord. I just want to represent you in this world today, God. I want to love the way you call me to love. And I got a wife laying right here beside me, Lord, and I don't really know how to love her. I need your power. I need your strength to help me love Sandy. And Lord, I got children, and I don't know how to raise teenagers. I don't know how to raise 20-year-olds. Lord, I don't know. I need your power, and I'm going to work right now, Lord, and I need strength when I drive because I just want to yell at people, you know? I just don't like people when I drive, and Lord, I just fill me with your peace and fill me with your power, and Lord, I'm going to step into, and I got a big appointment today, or I got a boss I don't really like. I need your power, Lord. See how it works? And then all throughout your day, we just continually pray, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit here. Lord, I've done this job so many times. I feel like I can do it with my eyes closed, but Lord, I want to be filled with your Spirit right now so I can be effective in my job. Lord, please fill me with your Spirit. And God says, I will give you in that moment what you need. Isn't it glorious? There's the key. So many people love to jump into chapter 6, verse 10 and read through and talk about the devil and all that stuff, but we miss the most important part. It's not about who he is. It's about who Jesus is and who Christ is in me. And for me just to be yielded to the Spirit of God, okay, Lord, have your way in my heart. Okay, Lord, right now, I just want. And if I come across the demonic, Lord, give me the wisdom to know how to walk through this in a way that's pleasing to you. And I'm aware that I'm in battle. And so when somebody comes up and says, I love abortion, I'm not going to yell back at them. And I'm not going to, Lord, I'm just going to fill me with your Spirit right now, Lord. How do I love that person? Because the battle isn't against them. The battle's beyond them. They're being controlled and manipulated by a supernatural force that's evil. And Lord, it's not going to do me any good to yell at them. Lord, give me the wisdom to know how to love them and bless them, encourage them, all the things that would represent you. I was sitting on a plane as I was driving back to Maryland, and I was sitting next to somebody, and they were pleasant and everything. But I was thinking, what would Jesus say to this person as I was sitting here? Because I just had my headphones in. I was just listening. I think, you know what? I just want to be left alone right now. I got a couple hours. I'm just going to enjoy this. And it was like this nagging thing on my heart of, here's a person that you get a chance to bless for an hour and a half, Toby. Maybe you ought to take your headphones out. And it's like, but I don't want to. I just want to be left alone. It's like, what a privilege we have in that moment, all through our week. Lord, you want to use me. So I said, you know, Don't negotiate with God. Don't be like me, okay? So I negotiate with God as I'm sitting there on that plane. I'm thinking, okay, I'll tell you what. And that's the stupidest thing you ever heard in your life. Okay, God, I'll tell you what. I'll take my headphones out. And if she talks to me, then I'll talk to her. And God, in his glorious grace, says, so I took my headphones out. And sure enough, so, you know, and so we had a wonderful conversation for the, and then we had a great, her husband was sitting beside, you know, just like, yeah, thanks, Lord. Thanks. I need to be filled with your spirit, Lord, because I want to represent you well right then. And I want to have wisdom as I talk to her, because I don't want to, if she said, I hate Jesus, and I hate, marriage should be between anybody who wants to be married. You know, if they come across that, Lord, I need your spirit right now, because I don't want to get in an argument. One, she's bigger than me, and I'm kind of a weakling, and I, you know that wasn't true. Oh, I'm sorry. Anyway, that's enough of all that craziness. Let's just live for God, amen? Let's live for God. Now, do me a favor. Read ahead. Next couple of verses are really, really good. Really, really good. And we're going to learn a lot moving forward about standing and being all that God wants us to be. Don't you want to be used by Christ in this world? We do. We do. And he's showing us. Here's how. Lord, we thank you for this time. Thanks for the grace that these guys give me to be goofy, Lord. And we want to be filled by with your Holy Spirit right now in this moment. And I pray each one of us in our hearts would say, yes, Lord, yes. I may not understand all that, but I want. If you want it for me, God, I want it. And we would just be filled, just overflowing, Lord. We want to be a blessing to people today in this room and everywhere we go. We want to be a blessing to people, Lord, and we want people to see you in us. And for that to happen, Lord, I want to be like Jesus. I want to show grace where grace is needed to be extended, and I want to give mercy, and I want to love in a way that's just wonderfully, gloriously supernatural, Lord. Oh, do that work in my heart. Do that work in our hearts. We're excited about the day that you're going to come back and take us to be with you forever and ever and ever and ever. We're thrilled. And Lord, if any of us are in this room, we're not sure if that's our destiny. I pray that we would take a moment right now just to ask you, Lord, how am I saved? How do I spend that forever with you? And that we would hear your voice related to that. And then maybe we would seek somebody out in here and say, tell me what it takes to have my sins forgiven. And we would get right with you this morning, Lord. I pray that for every one of us, that we'd be right with you as we leave this room. And some of us have struggled this week, Lord. We've made mistakes throughout our week. And it's sin. We just flat out sinned. And that we take the time right now to repent of that, Lord. We just say to you that we're sorry, that I should never have got angry there. I should have never said those things. I should have never done that, Lord. Please forgive me, knowing that you extend forgiveness very quickly to us, God. And you restore us into a wonderful place with you. Give us a heart of repentance toward to you, God, toward the mistakes that we make. So, thank you. Thanks for this time. Thanks for being able to be together to enjoy your presence. Use us today for kingdom things. In Jesus' name we pray.